哎呀！Music.
I'll sync it up right. It doesn't matter. Play.
Yeah. Trying to figure out how this ties in. I'm different. Pull up to the scene with my cylinder missing.
Hey, you're listening to Chansplaining, the Jackie Chan podcast. Currently, you're listening to 2 Chainz, which is apropos because today there's just 2 Chainz on the podcast. Okay. It's just Sonny and I. We're a short bench today. There's no Jordan.
He was kidnapped by Robert Mueller.
Why haven't we heard from Bob?
He's
in a
doing
while?
His thing.
Real talk. Is Bob Mueller, when he goes off to study things, like when Kanye goes up to the mountains to hammer out 40 songs, of which he uses one?
Yeah, he's in his mountain time mode. He puts on his Jimmy Buffett
shirt.
The
picture from the Grammys of Kanye in Berlin was actually taken by Bob Mueller. They buy Coke at the same place.
Yeah.
And they hang out with the same members of Swedish House Mafia in their spare time. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. That tracks. I think the new jack-off should just be whoever figures out what that song is appropriate to in the beginning.
Oh, that's fair. Did you know that last week's song was an Eagle song?
No, I had no idea.
I realized that when no one put it together immediately, that it was a pro-Eagles
podcast.
It was
also kind of soft, but yeah.
Sonny, it's tough because I have the microphone 2 feet from, not 2 feet, maybe 9 inches from the iPad where I record.
Yeah.
I can't have the phone
everywhere. This week I definitely recognize it immediately, so.
Yeah. People like to rag on the Eagles, the band, mm-hmm. which I get. They've got some jams.
Do they? I didn't know people ragged on them. I thought they were just like, it's classic rock, whatever.
I think even within classic rock, they're seen as pretty lame.
Okay.
From what I know of white people.
My view of that is Lynyrd Skynyrd. That's the Eagles.
I guess. We're from the north, though. So, Skynyrd doesn't really mean anything to us.
Yeah.
I don't think. Eagles are Californians, I think.
That would make sense.
Maybe. Yeah, I don't know what our northern version, New York doesn't have a lot of, class. I guess Kiss would be our band.
Yeah.
Or the Ramones. The Ramones.
Anyways. We're playing it loose this week because we're missing our third
We're playing
chance,
it loose. Sonny and I have known each other a long time. We've done many podcasting hours together.
Yeah.
We've never done it alone.
Yeah.
In a way, Sonny, it's like a Valentine's date.
That's true. Fuck. There's nothing there.
Oh, I don't know what you.
I was gonna do a Valentine.
No, let's stay on it, and we won't leave it until we get it. You're saying a Chanentine's day.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Be my. No, there's literally nothing. There's no way to do it.
So you had an idea that was not Chan fiction.
No, I had. So this is another movie that we were watching that starred Yun Bao, Sammo, mm-hmm. and Jackie.
Yeah.
And so I'm starting to pick up that in these Sammo movies that he directs, these are sort of his big three of sorts: his James Harden, his Kevin Durant. Mm-hmm. And is Russell Westbrook.
Okay, it's an old one, but an oldie but a goodie.
The original, who's the original big three? It was Bosch, Wade.
No, it was Garnett, Ray Allen, and Paul Pierce.
That's actually true. That was the big three. And then the new big three was you, Jordan, and I. But today, who are we now?
We're probably Durant and Westbrook.
So Jordan is Harden in that way. Jordan will blossom away from us.
I don't think people come to us to listen to basketball talk. Or I might be wrong.
I kind of think that they might. I don't know. I feel like they love... I love it. And I think that if we love it, they like it.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's gotta be.
That's how entertainment works. Right?
But yeah, a lot of the Yoons in this one. What's his name? Yoon Hwa is in it too. He plays the cigar loving bad guy.
He was awesome. Yeah, he was really great. Good in this. Wait, really? His name is Yoon Hwa?
I think so.
He's the guy that was able to do headstands forever.
That was him?
I believe that's Yoon Hwa, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, let's see. We might have an especially Googling caliber episode of this. Yoon Hwa, for sure. And also we have... This guy we could talk a whole episode about. Benny Urquidez. He's the white guy with the eyeliner.
Yeah.
The most horrific looking man I've ever seen.
Yeah, he's very scary.
Yeah. He doesn't belong in this movie. And you know what I'm saying, Sonny.
Yeah, he's white. I think that happens a lot, though. Like, a lot of his final bosses are white. Just because. Yeah. I don't know.
I was trying to figure out why he was the main guy. Like, why he was in the movie. He's also in another Sammo Hung movie. He's in, whatever the like not My Lucky Stars
Wheels on Meals
he does the same thing where he and Jackie have a fight at the very end of the movie.
Oh, okay.
And he's like the big boss. Are we supposed to believe that he is like he brought the drugs into China, like he's that level of American crime lord, or is he just like the muscle, the heater?
No, it looks like he's the Yeah, it feels like he's the muscle, because he's, like, down there, like, packing up the drugs.
Whatever it was. Was it heroin?
I think so.
All right.
Because you injected it. I don't know.
Yeah, it makes sense. We'll get to the movie in probably a couple minutes, but here's the question I had for you. This is, I guess, going to movie talk, even.
Yeah.
Who are the best trios that you can think of in film? Because I feel like these three were quite a trio in the 80s.
I think trios are really rare.
Yeah. It's tough to think about. I looked them up. There's a list of them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I was actually surprised. I didn't know how to phrase the question in Google at first.
Yeah.
I looked up best movie with three leads. Let me look up best trios in film. So one that I know came up that I thought was very interesting was The Big Lebowski.
Okay, yeah.
But that doesn't really count. Are you
only taking into account people that have been in multiple movies together? Because I think that like is really rare.
Yeah, that's tough. I would say that my favorite trio of recent memory is probably, well, I guess you could say like the Cornetto trilogy guys, even though one of them is a director.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I can get behind that.
I feel like they're all creative force together. The Superbad trio is, I think, my favorite trio of, like, the last 10 years.
Okay, yeah. That's a good one.
Three Stooges, I guess, is the right answer.
I mean, that's an easy one, yeah. Let me...
How many Marx Brothers are there? There's five, right? Four? Groucho, Harpo, Zeppo, Flounder... Sonny.
I don't know how many there are at.
I don't know.
Five seems like a lot, though.
Marx Brothers. Yeah. I don't know. I was told by many comedy writing people that if you're a comedy writer, you're either Three Stooges or you're Marx Brothers, and you don't want to be Three Stooges. Oh. And I've always been a Three Stooges fan. It's always been a thing that I've loved so deeply. There's four Marx Brothers.
Oh, okay.
Groucho, Harpo... Zeppo and Chico.
Oh, Chico.
Chico hands.
I guess, yeah, Lucan and Leia are a trio.
They are. Yeah, I would say they are. They're pretty iconic. They're probably better than Jackie Sammo and Yuen Bao. In terms of...
And then there's the... Yeah. And then there's the Harry Potter trio.
That's probably my answer now that I think about it.
Yeah.
Rupert, Danny, and Emma.
I mean, they've definitely been in more movies together than anything, like, than any other trio.
I mean, it's 7 movies. Or is it 8 movies?
It's 8 movies, yeah.
Holy shit. Isn't it crazy that those movies are good?
Yeah.
It kind of blows my mind that this movie, that the first movie's not good, and it could so easily just be capitalizing on, like, this bullshit of, like, children's fairies and wizards.
It was everything after that that did try to capitalize on the Harry Potter phenomenon, and they, like, failed, pretty much.
That's true. I like, I'm a pretty devout Harry Potter neutral. I'm, like, neutral about Harry Potter.
Yeah, same.
In that I don't love the books, and I like the movies, but they don't really mean anything to me.
Oh, I feel a little bit more strongly than that. I think, I like, romanticize how much I liked the books when I was younger. And I think I pretty much like all the movies.
I didn't read past the second book.
Oh,
I
really?
I was a 5th grade. Yeah, I read the first two in, like, I don't know, a week and a half, like lots of kids do.
Yeah.
And then it's when I don't really need to keep going. Yeah, I'm good. I'll probably read one of the Star Wars books, or realistically, play alone.
Yeah.
Like with toys. That'll be it. Another good trio, The Shield.
Wait, who is Chiklis? Walter Goggins?
No. Seth Rollins, Dean Ambrose, Roman Reigns. The other Shield.
I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, it's Goggins, Chiklis, and that's all the people I know from that show. The one they kill in the pilot, spoiler alert.
Yeah, yeah.
Shit. I don't know. It's tough to decide, but I was just trying to think. That's kind of why I brought it up, because it's hard to figure out movie trios, because it's hard to nail those. There's so many duos that repeat, but it's hard to hit, like, Three's Company.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess Three's Company also counts.
Three Amigos.
I don't like those movies.
I don't think so. I don't like them either.
That's Steve Martin, Chevy Chase, and who?
Or
is it even Steve Martin?
Yeah. Steve Martin, Chevy Chase, and Martin Short.
All good on their own,
yeah.
I think. Martin Short did Primetime Glick.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, Martin Short's probably my favorite out of those three, actually.
Yeah, I'd agree. So, should we, talk about this movie?
Yeah, I think I would like this movie more if it didn't, like, hate women all the time.
Okay, this is a very hateful film. Starts hateful, it ends hateful.
Yeah. But it's, like, very well directed. It's probably, like, the best direction he's done in the one
Sam was done?
Yeah, the Sam was done.
I think so. I
don't know. There are multiple points in this movie and I was like, oh, that was a pretty cool thing he did. He did there.
He seems to at points be really good and at points just totally phoning it in.
Yeah, that's true.
You can watch this movie on Daily Motion if you want to, or if you're me, you could stream it on Kodi for free.
Yeah, it's also on iTunes.
If you try to stream it in 720p, Silence by Martin Scorsese plays instead, and you watch that for 10 minutes, and then you get back to the movie.
What is Kodi? I thought it was like a completely legit thing, but it's not.
Kodi is if Kodi was a basketball player. Kodi would be Isaiah Thomas after this past
okay.
week, where you go, oh, he had a great shooting game, but we know he's not going to be playing good defense. And Kodi, you can find almost anything, uh-huh. but a lot of the time, it's wrong.
Okay.
Where you'll click on what you want to watch. So say I wanted to watch Dragons yeah. Forever, which I don't know why this movie is called either. That. And you it'll like bring up a list of sources, like 720p sources or just regular standard definition, and it'll be hundreds of them, and it'll automatically go to the highest quality one.
But this is a Roku app, right?
It's Roku, it's Amazon Fire.
So it's like
anything.
It's legal?
Okay. Going up Kodi's spot right now. If Kodi was a basketball player Cody would be as Jonah on the Orlando Magic.
Gilbert Arenas.
No, I think he would be as Jonah because you know that he's good, but you know he's not going to be there pretty soon.
Oh, okay.
He's going to get moved. Because Cody is itself legal because it's just a way to watch videos or to stream music.
Yeah.
But the add-ons within Cody, which are sort of clients that allow you to access offline, like, outside servers.
I see. Yeah.
Are not legal. Those are very illegal. So it's sort of like having, in a way, Cody is the crack pipe.
Right.
And it's not illegal to have a crack pipe. I have 1,000 of them.
Sure.
But they're
just
not
lying around.
They're most of them not loaded with crack.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So if in a weird way, it's hard for things to find the crack pipe because there's so many Cody. I don't know. It's weird. Mm-hmm. It's both legal and illegal.
That makes sense. Yeah. What if Dragons Forever refers to the three of them, but like in a meta way?
How so?
Like they're the Dragons Forever, Sammo, Jackie, and...
Oh, like the actors are?
Yeah.
You're probably right. I'm not that probably does have something to do with it. Like, it's a statement on their thing. I know that he calls Jackie Big Nose in this.
Yeah, that was funny.
Is it called... Okay, you can't read Chinese, right, Sonny?
No, I can't.
Okay, because there's a whole bunch of Chinese writing on the Wikipedia that I wanted you to translate. there's no way.
I mean, I imagine Dragons Forever is a pretty straightforward translation, but I don't know.
It says on Wikipedia, the film stars the three actors known colloquially as the Three Brothers that attended the China Drama Academy and became members of the Seven Little Fortunes. This is the last film to date that all three have appeared in together. So maybe you're totally right about this.
Yeah.
Like, this is the closing of the Shield. I'm going to call them the Shield for now.
This is the dissolving of the NWO.
Oh, fuck.
Was that three people? No, that was more.
Well, it was a first. And then there was 100 of them. This is like when Seth Rollins turned on Dean Ambrose and Roman Reigns with a chair.
Yeah, sure.
In that day. What do you think people like more? Basketball talk or wrestling talk from 2014?
I honestly don't know. Actually wrestling, knowing some of the people I know who listen to this.
Yeah, probably. Maybe we should find a way to combine it.
Yeah. Shaq. Shaq's the key.
Shaq, Karl Malone?
Yeah.
Dennis Rodman. Do you know Karl Malone and Dennis Rodman wrestled each other?
Like, professionally?
Yeah, at WCW.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It was Karl Malone and DDP versus Hollywood Hulk Hogan and Hollywood Dennis Rodman. Hollywood Dennis Rodman.
Wow. Remember, okay, this is unrelated. We're going off on a tangent.
It's fine.
But this is what happens when Jordan isn't here. Remember the movie Ready to Rumble?
Yeah, with David Arquette.
Yeah, that was such a crazy movie that, like, forced us to believe that... Oh, fuck. What's his name? Who played the king?
Oh, shit. I should know, because... In my first script, I made a joke about him. God, what's his name? I feel so bad. He's from The Big C.
Yeah, he's a lawyer on the West Wing.
Okay, not Plimpton. Oliver Platt.
Oliver Platt, yeah.
Oliver Platt.
They tried to convince us that he was totally in wrestling shape and form.
I think he's supposed to kind of be like a Jerry the King Lawler in that movie.
Oh,
where he's
yeah,
a little
that makes
bit
sense.
Dumpy, but he was way too fat.
But also, Jerry the King Lawler is in that movie.
He is?
Yeah, I think he plays like.
This is full of. There's a lot of Googling going on. Really?
There's a lot of nonsense in that movie.
But Ready to Rumble was WCW branded, and Jerry the King Lawler is WWF.
Yeah, you're right. Maybe I'm thinking of another movie he was. Maybe I'm thinking of Man on the Moon.
Yeah. He definitely was in that.
Okay.
Because he fucking... Okay. This movie starred... Holy shit. This is a murderer's row of people. So top build on Ready to Rumble is Bill Goldberg.
Sure. I mean, he's in it.
Yeah. Then there's Michael Buffer, who's the man who says, "Let's get ready to rumble."
Oh, okay. Can't believe that guy's still alive.
Rose McGowan.
Sure.
Scott Kahn. the seed of James Caan.
Oh gosh.
Oliver Platt, Sting, Joe Pantoliano.
Oh yeah. DDP's in it.
DDP's in it. Martin Landau.
Okay.
Chris, a guy named Chris Owen, who looks just like what's his name? The fucking British guy, Benedict Cumberbatch, if you Wikipedia him. Booker T, Bam Bam Bigelow, Kurt Hennig.
Bam Bam Bigelow.
Yeah, I don't think that he's in, Jerry the King is in it.
Okay.
But a lot of mostly WCW people are in it. Yeah, let's just talk about Ready to Rumble. David Arquette was WCW champion because of that movie. They actually gave him the championship.
In real life? Holy
shit. In real life, as a publicity stunt. And I remember being a 8 or 9 year old boy and watching it and being like, man, maybe I can buy it. Like, David Arquette's like, is like a rascal. He'll lose eventually, but I'm excited. I didn't see it as a huge slap in the face to like Ric Flair and all of the people that have given their bodies.
That made it a big deal.
Yeah.
Man. And they actually did that triple cage thing that was in the movie, didn't they?
They did. The Tower of Terror? I don't really remember, but I remember it was cool when I was everything in wrestling is cool when you're little.
Yeah.
And you kind of, as a 27-year-old man, are trying to get those emotions you had when you were 10, and they're almost impossible. It's almost impossible.
Yeah.
In a way, it's why what we're chasing here on Chanceplating, when we watch, like, Shanghai Noon.
Yeah. We're like, oh, that had to have been good. I mean, it was. It just probably wasn't as good as when I first saw it.
No, it wasn't. Like, that's a big reason why I'm afraid of Rush Hour. Because we're going to watch Rush Hour.
Oh, yeah.
And go, this was pretty good. And then, where do we go?
But, like the thing with Rush Hour is that I still remember a lot of the lines from it. Mm-hmm. And they're, I don't think they're funny intellectually. They're just funny because what they exist in.
If we really do think about Rush Hour, it is the weirdest pairing of any two people.
Yeah. That can for happen. Sure.
You have like 57-year-old Jackie Chan, who is not famous in America. Really at all, combining with Chris Tucker, who I don't really think anyone thought he was just from Martin, right? Mostly, and like
I think so.
And that SNL ripoff show. What's it called? Something Color in Living Color.
Oh, I didn't know that was an SNL ripoff.
Please tell. Well, it's not a ripoff. Please tell me that he's in that, and I didn't do something bad just now. In Living Color, I'm just gonna keep my.
Keep that open. Oh fuck, it was directed by Brett Ratner too.
Oh shit, he's not in it. Fuck, it's everyone else.
Oh no, he was so he kind of had a good run before Rush Hour, Chris Tucker. He was in Money Talks, The Fifth Element, and Jackie Brown.
Oh right, he's in the trunk in Jackie Brown.
Yeah.
That's my favorite Quentin movie. And people go, really? Say what?
Yeah,
it's totally my favorite. I think it's cool because it's like, I think Quentin Tarantino is a great director, but I think sometimes he gets too up his own ass about his writing.
Mm-hmm.
And this was sort of just a adaptation of Rum Punch, which is like a decent. He made a decent book, a really good movie, and it doesn't have any of the like needless clutter of his other movies. So I give it 5.
Interesting.
Not wanting any troubles personally. Yeah, I might say, I don't know, Pulp Fiction's probably better.
I think Inglourious Basterds is my favorite.
That's interesting, too, because a big part of I find huge chunks of that movie unwatchable.
Really?
Like, I saw it twice. I saw it twice with Jordan, actually.
Oh, really?
And the scene when they're just eating food at the table, it's probably brilliant, but when I was 20, I didn't like it.
It's a good-looking scene.
It is. I mean, but
yeah,
I
think
didn't
a lot.
Like
yeah, that scene does a lot of. Christoph Waltz does a lot of heavy lifting through a lot of that movie.
That man is like Arnold Schwarzenegger. He does so much lifting.
Okay. Back Dragons to, Forever.
Should we give a synopsis?
Yeah, let's give that a shot.
Okay, I'm gonna try to do this the best I can in three sentences or less.
Uh huh.
Jackie Chan plays a lawyer who is hired to defend, are they like a toxic waste plant? They're like a waste management plant.
Yeah, they're like a waste management plant.
Yeah, Jackie Chan plays a slick talking lawyer who's hired by a crooked waste management plant in a case.
Mm-hmm.
In order to win the case, he hires two weird men in Sammo and Yun Bao, who are respectively a gun trader.
He's like an arms trader, and then Yun Bao is like a weird person.
Yeah, he's like a crazy inventor man who is also and it's like a weird love story in ways, and it's gibberish like most of these movies are. Jackie's trying to date this woman who is the best friend of someone who's suing the waste management company, and Sammo is trying to date the woman who is suing the waste management company, and we get lots of montages of them courting each other.
Right. In various ways.
And then they find out that the waste management plan is just a cover for a drug dealing operation. We find that in the last 10 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
Not a big deal. Not a big deal at all.
Whatever. This movie is paced pretty badly.
A lot of these movies are where there's a lot of hijinks and then they go, but really, here's the movie.
They like don't know what to do with the middle part.
I really want to know if there's like a DVD or a book I can read that goes into the movie making process of Hong Kong cinema at this point in time. Because I really do think that they didn't put any emphasis on screenwriting.
Yeah, I can see that. Because a lot of the, it's like very, there's no subtlety in anything.
Sometimes they don't really, things don't really build in the way they should. Yeah. Where I was very confused in a scene later in the movie where the woman that Jackie's trying to... I feel bad I don't know her name, but I feel like they don't say her name.
I don't know. Nancy.
Whatever. Nancy. He's trying to... Jackie, his name in the movie.
Yeah.
Is trying to date Nancy. And they've just had a nice date together, and she kind of just out of nowhere figures out that he's using her when they're on the beach together. Isn't she just like, you're just trying to win the case?
Oh, yeah. Well, like, it seems like she has known for a while at that point.
Oh, she knows he's just sucking, like, he's just sucking.
Right, or, like, she was, like, she's suspected it just because he was the lawyer on the other side. She's also, like, but then he's like, oh, isn't that why you're dating me, too, or whatever?
Yeah. It doesn't.
It's a weird...
Let's since we're talking about male female relationships right now on this Valentine's Eve. It would be impossible to talk about this movie, I think, without mentioning how the first 10 minutes are cluttered with very problematic violence against women.
Super misogynistic. Actual violence and emotional
implied.
Yeah. Implied violence. Yeah, it's so fucked up.
So after like an initial scene that is actually awesome of the main mob guy killing somebody, which was great and made me think this movie was going to be really good, we meet Jackie, who is trying to bribe a rape victim into dropping a case, and he seems to think that no one will trust her because she's like an exotic dancer,
something like that, I think.
Or like a exotic hostess. They mention it in the courtroom.
Yeah. Yeah, some sort of dancer, I think.
And so she's like, no one will believe you, so take the money.
Yeah.
And instead of having an enemy, make a friend.
Right.
Which is... Is he talking about himself, or is he talking about the man who raped her?
I don't know. I'm pretty sure it's himself. But okay, either way, it's like... I don't like these scenes don't need to exist particularly. They just like seem to be in there just for the sake of
to establish him as a huge dirtbag.
A horrible person.
And so they go to the court case, and what is the term that he ends up employing? I know what it means, but I don't know what it's called.
For what?
He pretty much says, like, Your Honor, just for the sake of speeding things along, my client will agree to the charges, but he will not say that he is guilty. But we will allow the a sentencing.
Oh,
pretty much. We won't fight the ruling or right. the conviction, but he's not guilty. You're allowed right. to do that. Centro vitro.
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know anything about it. Also seems like the law system over there is real fucked up.
Yeah, it's well the judge in this movie is fucking
yeah, trash.
Extremely high and a trash man the whole time. Yeah, isn't Jackie's argument pretty much okay, he might have done it, but she was right. she but had it
come
coming.
On. Come on.
And then even the fucking prosecution lawyer, who is her lawyer, is yeah. like, it's not about the ethic decision. It's about the yeah. law. There's and this like... big slut got raped is pretty much what he said. And he needs to go to jail. It's awful.
Yeah, it's terrible. And then he was like, it's not illegal. It's just whatever. Yeah, it's like... This movie tries to... I feel like there's a little glimmer of, like, a theme of ethics in this movie.
Like,
that
it's,
is
a,
like it's approached. Because,
shade of gray.
Yeah, well, because, like, the whole thing is that I think Jackie's lawyer character is a guy that doesn't really care about ethics in the beginning. Or he, like, I think that's where his arc is supposed to land, is, like, he's just this lawyer who doesn't care who he represents.
Yeah.
And stuff like that.
But then he truly falls for the girl.
But then he falls for the girl, and then he's like, oh, drugs. Bad.
What's your laptop password? Yes. I think that he's kind of... I think he shows that he's okay in the beginning when he, like, punches the dude in the stomach in the face.
Yeah.
After getting him off. But at the same time, it's not... It's not really an arc. There's not really an arc for any of this.
Yeah, it's not very earned. I think, like, I don't know. This is probably, like, the smoothest role Jackie has played.
Oh, like smooth
like the character,
talking?
Yeah.
Maybe. It's possible.
And it's probably the only one where he has a real job.
Oh, that's true. He usually just plays, like, a slacker or someone,
yeah,
someone's cousin.
Or, yeah.
He's some old man's old nephew that comes yeah. to do work. He I don't know. He also, like, he immediately, upon leaving the courtroom, is inundated with these women that seem to be attracted to him. But
yeah.
also, every case that we've been brought to at this point is also, like, a case against women, and it's
yeah.
seen as very... casual, where this he's like, where have you been to this woman lawyer? She goes, oh, I've just been knee deep in spousal abuse cases.
Yeah, yeah. What?
He's like, oh, that's fine, that sucks, it's tough.
Yeah, how about lunch?
And ask her to lunch, and she wants to get it at noon, which is early.
Yeah. And I kind of liked his assistant. I thought she was interesting. I wanted to see more of her.
Me too. She had clearly had a thing for him, but she got no screen time.
Yeah, it was whack.
Yeah, what is it about? Was because she wears glasses like we do? She doesn't deserve the
she
dick.
Doesn't... That must be it.
It's gotta be.
I don't know. That can't be, like, because there's no way his character is like, oh, I ethically cannot sleep
oh,
with
no
my
way.
Assistant.
No, this man hired two criminals.
Yeah,
like immediately his first thing was to hire them.
Yeah, if nothing else, this dude fucks.
This dude will fuck anybody, and it's also a guy who he also punches the rape victim in the face.
Yeah,
I forget that he slaps her in the face when she is already crying and bloody after being punched by a bunch of goons. Fuck. We're kind of out of we can get this part out of the way, because then it just gets to tomfoolery for the
yeah,
most part, with hints of problematic behavior.
Yeah. Sammo has a cool entrance.
Yeah, he does. Sammo does himself right.
Yeah.
He knows how to direct himself.
Yeah. He opens into an arms deal, and he, like, dramatically opens the door in shadows or whatever.
Yeah. He pays for lighting when he's in the
yeah,
show.
When he's in the thing.
If not, if it's just Jackie or, God forbid, littlest brother Yuen Biao, it's just going to be whatever light they can get from, like, the windows.
Yeah.
Is Sammo a good actor? Because I kind of think he's better than Jackie is.
Well, so I will say I think Jackie's really good at being angry. Like, I think that's his best acting skill.
What about splits? Doing splits?
Yeah, well, he's got some competition from Jean-Claude Van Damme in that.
It's true. It's true.
But I think the scene where, I forget what it was, but there's a scene in the beginning where he just, like, gets really angry and it's super convincing. And I think it's when he pushes that dude in the water, or he, like, tries to.
Mm-hmm.
And he, like, snaps at one of the ladies. But he seems like he does anger, like, he's genuinely hurt by it as well.
Oh, it's
mad.
when he says something along, she says, like, you have to stop pretending that you're elite, like, aligned with them.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. You're
he gets mad at her saying that pretending.
Yeah, or, like, you have to stop conspiring with them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
and
exactly
I think term. He's like, how dare you?
Then she slaps. Then she slaps.
And
her.
Then she slaps.
Jesus Christ.
Fuck.
Maybe he does do anger well. That I was so kind of caught off guard by the first 5 minutes of this movie that I couldn't judge much of anything because I was so blown away by the casualness The woman is just, when they're talking about the case, she's like, I'm not going to take the money. This guy raped me. He's going to pay for it.
Yeah.
Like, so blunt, so detached. So
and Jackie's like,
even...
rethink that.
Yeah, that's not wise.
It's not.
You're going to lose money and get beat up by a bunch of goons. Okay. Fuck. Moving on. Jackie gets hired by the mobster to defend his power plant.
Right, because there is a fishery owner. They own a fisher pond that has fish in it. I guess they raise fish to sell. Chemical plant is leaking bad stuff into it. And they're like...
Heroin, I guess we find.
Yeah, I guess it's residue from creating heroin. That'll fuck a fish up. Or make
up,
them...
Like, everyone.
Make fish more valuable? I don't know.
I guess if you could get...
If you can...
Fucking blissed out eating some trout or whatever is in that big pond.
Yeah. So the fishery files an injunction against the chemical plant, and the mob owner is like, I can't have this. So he hires lawyers to destroy the little guy.
Yeah. What's Jackie's last... Jackie Lung? Lung?
Jackie...
Is it
Lung? Lung?
Yeah. I remember them saying, like, lawyer... They called him Lawyer Lung.
Hmm.
In the subtitles, which were oftentimes misspelled.
Yeah.
I noticed.
The subtitles on mine always translated Jackie to Johnny.
Really?
Yeah. Like, they clearly would be saying Jackie on the screen, even in Chinese, but it would say Johnny on the subtitles.
Mine said Jackie.
Hmm.
Maybe we watched a different version? Were your subtitles yellow or white?
Yeah, mine were yellow.
Mine were yellow, too. Maybe I wasn't reading that closely. Possible.
I think what happens is, I think so. Jackie hires Sammo and also Yuen Biao.
Yeah.
But like completely independently of each other, he doesn't
tell them.
I don't understand why he does. He expect both of them to do their job, because that's what they did, and they like got their wires crossed.
Yeah, he hires Sammo to fall in love.
with the
woman who's bringing the suit, and he hires Yuen Biao to pretty much just be a spy for him and put a bug in the wall for this woman's apartment.
Yeah,
but when they're so Sammo moves next door to the woman because apparently it's just a vacant apartment, and he's trying to bug her, and then
Yuen Biao comes in sonar.
Yeah. Yuen Biao also comes into bug, and then they have a big fight.
And
they trick the woman into thinking that Yuen Biao is a robber, and that Sammo has, like,
saved her.
They don't. Yeah, that's a big thing about it. They don't. At any point, Jackie's like, "Okay, I got this thing going on, and this thing going on."
Yeah.
It'll be really good if you. Yeah. And if you see him, just play cool. Just be cool. Don't come fight
each
other.
It's a very expensive grift because you're just renting an apartment to hang out.
I think that the mobster is paying for it.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
He's very rich, as you can tell by his mustache and his smoking.
And his double-breasted suit.
He's great. He's such a good...
His movements, his general, everything is very funny.
Chaplin-esque, yeah. I would say. A lot of acting going on in the face. He's very funny. He's funnier than Jackie is in this, because he doesn't hurt women.
That's true. Well, he does throw.
No, he does.
He does throw.
He punches her in the stomach and throws her out a window.
Throw out a window. And then steps on her fingers.
Who's nice to women in this movie? Sammo seems to be.
Sammo is nice to women.
Yeah. Yun Bao is okay also.
Right? Yeah, but Yun Bao is just like pretty isolated. He's just a weirdo.
What is his... Is he a crazy person? Like, what is his deal? Is he the wild card of the group?
I guess so. He's just like the third wheel. He's like a... What is it?
Hard to figure out.
It says Wikipedia says he's a goofy inventor with goofy capitalized.
A goofy inventor. Jesus Christ. But why is he a spy? Like, why does he do spy stuff then? And no kung fu. Everyone knows kung fu.
Everyone knows kung fu. But I feel like he's the guy in I, Tanya who's like who thinks he's a spy.
Jeff Galooly?
Yeah, Galooly. Who's an amazing, who's like, would be an incredible character if he wasn't also a real person.
Did you know that John Gabris was almost cast as Galooly?
Oh, really? That would have been really good.
That would have been amazing, but also I would have been so distracted by the fact that it's fucking John Gabris.
John Gabris.
As Galooly.
Yeah.
No, Galooly is her husband, really well. Isn't he?
No, Galooly, oh wait. Maybe. I don't know.
Let's get that wiki out. I'm really surprised that I, Tanya hasn't been met with pure, like, classic status yet. I still think it's one of the best movies this year.
Yeah.
His name is just Sean.
Oh.
I don't know. Probably his last name. IMDb just says Sean.
Yeah, it definitely does in real life.
Yeah. Fuck. Okay. So... It's hard to really talk about these movies because there is a lack of sequencing in the plot, where shit just seems to happen where now Jackie and Sammo are dating these women.
Right. I think what happens is those two women are cousins, right?
Yes.
And the one who owns the fishery convinces her cousin to go on a date with Jackie because she thinks it'll give them advantage in the case somehow or whatever.
Yeah, if she gives it up, which is gross too. Also bad.
But I think Jackie, I don't know if he actually likes her in the beginning or if it's just him being a little slut.
I think he's being a little slut. To be honest, I think Jackie Chan in a lot of these movies does play a little slut. He's trying to get it in all the time. he even when he's not being really awful, he is always hard. He's constantly hard in these movies. He's not like Rumble in the Bronx hard.
All the time. No. He's just like... fucking loves those tank tops.
He did in just the tiny shorts. I watched... I don't know why this happened, but I watched all of Queer Eye on Sunday, then the reboot.
Okay.
And now I've just been saying zhuzh a lot. And I've been
what does that mean?
To zhuzh is to, like, put a stank on it. Like, zhuzh your hair, or zhuzh your collar, or zhuzh your shirt. So I've been saying zhuzh, but I've also been talking a lot about men's bodies, which I do a lot anyway, as a 21st century gentleman. But now even more so, because I'm like, I want to be one of the Queer Eye guys.
Yeah.
Be cool. I wonder if they like these movies.
I never watched it when I was out on TV. Maybe I will. It's on Netflix.
The Netflix one is Five New Guys. One of the guys is from Game of Thrones, which is a popular like Game of Thrones recap thing. He does the hair. He's delightful.
Oh, I didn't know that was... Okay.
He's good. Okay, back to Jackie Chan. So the big thing with Sammo's character is that this woman does not want to date him. She has no interest because he's a fat guy.
Yeah.
Which,
well, she doesn't have interest dating anyone, is her shtick.
No, she has that thing where she's talking to her cousin. She says, I would date literally any guy. They don't need a job. They don't need to be handsome.
Yeah.
Don't need to be smart or morally upright.
True.
They just can't have a pot belly. That's what she said specifically.
Yeah.
And
but she also seems like, personally opposed to dating, though. That's like what they try to make out her character to be, just this person who doesn't have relationships and is
like a spinster, sort of.
Yeah, like a spinster.
Chucky Spinster.
Yeah.
But she ends up, she succumbs to his horrible persistence following her. Like, he says that he's going to go to a restaurant and he will not leave until she comes. And she goes, I'm not going. And he's like, well, you have to come because I'll never leave. She goes, I'm not going to go. I don't like you. I don't want to go. Leave me alone. And he goes, no, I'm going to go and you're going to come too. She ends up spying on him and he sees her and he has a bullhorn and he starts chasing her down the street.
Just like extremely unacceptable stalker behavior.
Yeah. And she's like trying to get her attention. He goes, lady with the black fur coat. And she throws her fur coat on the floor so he won't talk. That doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it doesn't.
She's stupid. It's fucking stupid. Everyone's so stupid in this movie. Everyone's dumb and I'm angry about it now. No one's smart. Jackie's supposed to be a lawyer and he's dumb.
He's very dumb, yeah.
They're all dumb in these movies. Is that like something that we're missing? A piece of the puzzle that we're missing is the fact that they intentionally are writing characters that no one is like? Could this be a thing?
Well, I think it's part of what you mentioned before. They fundamentally don't think about screenwriting norms.
Yeah.
When coming up with this stuff, so...
I was just hoping that maybe there's like a level of farce that we don't understand as like Westerners, where they're like where the writers and the people making the movie would be saying, no, it's, would you consider the Three Stooges to be rational characters?
No,
but they're
like
funny,
all the,
and they can be compelling,
right? But the Three Stooges also, a lot of their thing is physical comedy, right?
Yeah,
like I feel like a lot of the farce is through the kung fu, or like that version of, like, the kung fu is the Chinese version of Three Stooges physical comedy.
Maybe. Yeah, I could see that. And calling Sammo fat every time he's on screen.
Yeah.
Just so mean to him. I guess it's his movie, and he gets to, if he didn't want people to call him that, they wouldn't, because he's the boss. But Jesus Christ, give the dude a break. Give the guy a break. He's been doing movies with you for 15 years. Just leave him alone.
Yeah.
Fine. Sammo gets the girl. Jackie gets the girl. However, they never kiss, which is weird.
Yeah, you're right. They just, like, are interrupted and do weird hugs.
Yes. They do weird. Yeah. Can I read you something from Wikipedia that I found very interesting about this movie?
Yeah.
Let me get it up. So this movie made a lot of money, made 33 million Hong Kong bucks in 1988, which is very, very good.
Jesus.
Yeah, it did very well. Shit, I have Googled so far out of this. I need to get back. I like thought if I scrolled back, I would get there quickly. Forever Dragon. Whatever. Dragons Forever. And this movie was made a lot of money, but it wasn't critically well received. And there were some reasons why that were listed that I thought were very interesting, and they're kind of different than what we feel in America with how we look at acting. So it says, on Hong Kong Legends DVD release of Dragons Forever, Hong Kong cinema expert Bay Logan offers his opinion of why the film underperformed both in the domestic and Japanese markets. The primary reason cited is that the actors played roles against type. Jackie Chan plays a slick lawyer who chases women, in contrast to the happy-go-lucky everyman character he plays.
Huh.
Similarly, Yun Bao plays an eccentric and possibly mentally disturbed character, rather than the underdog character fans were used to. For Sammo Hung, rather than the timid character that's been described in earlier films, he instead plays a rascal. Logan explains that in general, the cinema-going public in Hong Kong are not as open to such departures of roles as perhaps the West would be.
Oh, that's kind of a bummer, because I feel like that's one of the more interesting parts of this movie.
Yeah, we haven't seen enough Sammo and Yun Bao, but this is the first time Jackie's been totally a shitheel.
Yeah, yeah, just like a straight cut. Classic. I wonder if that's just like what he thinks about lawyers.
Oh, maybe. He seems to hate capitalism. At least at this point in time. Even though he loves money. So maybe he would hate lawyers.
He loves money.
But here's another thing that was written that I think is very interesting, and I have no idea what the fuck this is about. Additional reasons cited include the occasional use of coarse language, the scenes of narcotics production, and the fact that Chan's character has a relationship with a woman. Particularly, this affected the Japanese market, as many female viewers couldn't accept that their idol wasn't single.
Oh my god.
On learning that Chan was in a relationship in real life, one Japanese fan committed suicide and another poisoned herself in the offices of Golden Harvest. Yeah. Let's do a whole episode about that girl. About that fucking woman. Someone killed herself because he was married. Or dating a woman.
That's wild. That's like nothing like that has ever happened in Hollywood.
No, not at all. I do know that shit still happens. Like J-pop stars have in their contracts and K-pop stars have that they can't have public spouses.
Wow.
Because it affects their sales and people get so invested. Isn't like, what's that movie Perfect Blue?
The anime?
The pop idol? Yeah, the anime.
Yeah.
Like, I really do think there is some level of idol worship in, maybe I should be careful here, but I definitely think that maybe it's right. With stardom, there's a level of worship that isn't in the West, where a lot of people will, I know, buy every product that someone will put out or sponsor just to support them, even if it's bad and they don't want it.
Yeah, I think that makes sense.
Not a lot of people well, do, but
I think it's like, I mean, whatever the closest Western equivalent would be something like early Taylor Swift or like One Direction.
Oh, totally.
But like those, I feel like a lot of those fans grow out of it, and I don't know if they necessarily do.
Yeah, I went down a perfect blue rabbit hole a few months ago because that movie's great and that dude is a genius.
I've never seen it. Is that I think I get that in Paprika confused a lot.
The same guy.
Okay.
Same director. He also made a great anime called Paranoia Agent.
Okay.
That I love, and he made three like Three Grandpas or whatever. It's about the three homeless people that find the baby on Christmas Eve.
Three Grandpas outside Ebbing's.
What? but while researching Perfect Blue, do you know about this? The Bjork stalker?
No.
Holy shit. Sonny, don't go. I'm going to tell you and however many listeners we have about this, and you're going to YouTube this out of fucking like curiosity.
Is this like Serial season 3?
Well, the dude did it himself. So there's this dude who was stalking Bjork. His name was Angel something. I think he was an American guy who lived in somewhere in like the coast, like either Florida or California. I don't remember where exactly. And he was obsessed with Bjork.
Yeah.
Like he loved her music and he wanted to go to art school because of her, but he was a huge loser and didn't really have artistic talent. And he was very overweight. And he also had a micro penis, which we learn when he starts doing VHS recordings of himself. He starts making essentially hours long tapes that he plans to send to Bjork, like talking about his love and listening to her music and talking about life and how he's a loser and how he'll never get anywhere. And then midway through, he decides, I'm going to kill Bjork because she's dating somebody. She's dating a black guy, I think it was.
Sure.
So I'm going to kill Bjork. So what he decides he's going to do is, first he tries to rig a box that would shoot AIDS-filled syringes and send it to her house in London. Yeah, he finds out can't really build something like that. It's too difficult. So instead, he builds a pipe bomb that he's going to send to her.
Okay.
It's going to go to her in London. What he's going to do as that happens, he's going to shoot himself on video. He's going to kill himself on tape. And, like, so that they will be, they'll meet each other, like, in heaven or in hell together. This is all recorded, and he's all talking about it. So what he decides that he's going to do, and he is going to go through with this murder-suicide, is he mails it to her, and that day, shaves all of his hair off, gets completely naked, and smears grease paint over his face in, like, tribal fashion, and then literally shoots himself in the head and kills himself on camera.
Holy crap.
And then the camera goes out because he, like, falls into it, because I think he meant to fall backwards and have...
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it was insane. There's a fucking picture of her behind him where I think he intended his brains to splatter against. This is so dope. Yeah, it's craziness. This is the Jackie Chan podcast where we talk about the Bjork murder
the
suicide.
Bjork stuff. Wait, so what happened to the pipe bomb?
It went to the wrong place, and I think, like, it got flagged.
Okay.
And so people detonated it safely. It might have been full of, like, anthrax or something.
Oh.
But whatever, it was supposed to kill her.
Yeah.
And so the dude was found, I guess, a couple days later because his body was starting to decompose. And they found all of his tapes. And his fucking tapes are on the internet if you want to watch them.
Holy shit. I did not watch them. Yeah, no, I don't.
I watched clips of them to see what he was about. And then I watched 2 seconds of, like, the beginning of his last tape, which is, like, 6 hours long. And I was like, this is too much. He's like a monster. He looks legitimately like... the character, you know, in, like, Red Dragon, the remake of Manhunter?
Yeah.
Like, he's that kind of transformation.
Holy shit.
Horrifying to see. Whew.
That's fucked
up. Anyway.
Yeah, fanaticism, people, it's bad.
Fanaticism is crazy.
Don't do it.
Sonny, you are going to want to Wikipedia this guy, though.
Okay, I will start.
Just let's take 20 minutes.
Just check it out.
So, apparently Jackie was such an idol that people would... kill themselves over. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Can you imagine that?
Fuck.
If that woman was alive, she'd be a listener. She'd be a big fan of us.
She'd be the biggest transplant. Yeah, wait, how long ago was this? It must have been like...
Let's just talk about
years.
This. It's like the mid-90s.
Or something.
Yeah.
Oh,
Bjork
God.
Stalker. Let's just deep dive right now. This is what happens when Jordan's... So did you get him? His name is Ricardo Lopez, not Angelo.
Ricardo Lopez, yeah.
Oh, no, behind his head he wrote, "The best of me." So that's where his brain would splatter.
Very dramatic.
I'm afraid to go down, because I had, like, little nightmares about, like, little... When I was going to sleep, I would see his scary face.
His face?
His face in the grease paint? It's so not good. Letter bomb plot and diaries.
Oh, God.
Bjork said she was very distressed by the incident.
Yeah, no shit.
Very sad that someone would shoot his face off.
I love Bjork. I love
Bjork. She's not my favorite. I could listen to her if I'm, like, playing video games, but I'm not gonna just... She's not like Subway Music for me.
Alright.
Personally. But she's okay. She's better than, I don't know, Matchbox 21.
Okay.
I don't know if that's a band. Matchbox 20?
Yeah, Matchbox 20.
Definitely better than 21. Back to this movie. I do think people didn't hate that, though, because that is interesting shit.
Yeah,
and
I
hope
that was
Wikipedia.
Fascinating.
Should we just do a true crime podcast about this guy? Like,
we'll
move to where he came from and talk to his family.
Oh, God. There's no way
he's from Georgia.
Still around. No, fuck, I'm not going to Georgia.
He's born in Uruguay, though. He's like you, Sonny. Oh, no! He shot this all in Hollywood, Florida. So,
okay.
I was right. So, we can go to Florida.
All
right. Yeah, he made a letter bomb rigged with sulfuric acid intended to kill or disfigure her. His decomposing body, along with his diary detailing his plot to kill Bjork, were found by police 4 years later. 4 days later.
Hmm.
After viewing the tapes, because they found the tapes... Police contacted Scotland Yard, who intercepted the package.
Oh.
So if he didn't fucking record it and start decomposing, Bjork might have been blinded.
Yeah.
He literally was his own worst enemy. Fuck, man.
Damn.
Okay. How do we go back to this movie at this point? Where Okay.
So they're dating.
Gets the date.
Everyone's dating.
Everyone's dating. Jackie's dating a girl who won't kiss him. Yeah. Samo's dating an old spinster.
And they cut between these dates.
They cut between these dates. They're full of little sillinesses of Jackie chasing this woman around. Mm-hmm. And Samo appearing to kind of actually like her, I guess.
He's so, genuine. Like, my problem with these is, like, there's never a point where you can tell that there's a shift in intention. Because usually when stuff like this happens, they're like, there's a moment or something that makes them change their mind.
Yeah, I agree.
And...
I was waiting for a scene, and I'm always waiting for a scene in these movies where you see from Jackie's perspective how he views her differently.
Right.
Or a scene of contemplation where even something as simple as he, like, says goodbye to her at night, and then he lingers, like, oh, I wish I could go inside, or something like this. These don't happen. They just kind of do scenes together.
They skip over the bits.
The character building?
The character building bits. and then, what's his name? Yun Bao is rats them out.
You son of a bitch.
It's the was I a bet moment.
Oh yeah, at the very end, before everything pops off. Yeah, and then the girls get mad.
Mm-hmm. As they should, and then they get into fights. Good, it was a good fight.
Yeah, let's talk about the action, because we haven't really... I think that if I had to give the action a grade of Don't Want Any Troubles, I'd probably give it like a 3.5.
Yeah, I was going to give it a 4, I think. It was good. I don't think they were unique enough from each other, the fight scenes, but like there were definitely some cool choreographed moments.
I've noticed how Samo likes to do, I think, in his fight scenes is he really does like juicing a lot of people in a scene, like 8 or 9 people in a scene, mm-hmm. and having the Jackie or he or Yun Bao just take out 6 of them with like one punch, which is really cool because it's an unbroken frame shot.
Right.
You know how much that is like an interesting thing.
Yeah.
But he also doesn't vary it up, and he doesn't have the kinetic energy of the Jackie stunts have.
Right. Yeah.
Where Jackie might only be fighting 2 people, but will have an unbroken shot that lasts 8 or 9 seconds, and he'll be all over the place, mm-hmm. and it'll almost tell a story in that, he's going to trip, and while he's tripping, he does a flip and dodges, and he kicks something into somebody.
I think Samo resets his fights a lot.
I agree.
So they feel like they just start over, and there's nothing really gained or lost. But he does use slow-mo pretty well, I think. I noticed that.
I think definitely better than the last movie we saw.
Yeah.
Than Forbidden Kingdom. I think Samo is definitely a competent director.
Yeah.
I don't think that he's great. Nothing I've seen of him has been amazing. Mm-hmm. But he knows how to frame his shots, and he gets...
Right.
He definitely knows how to direct himself.
And he does...
He knows how to...
He does like cool camera movements in this as well.
Yeah.
Relative to the other ones. And there was this really cool shot, I think it's near the end, where Yun Bao's face is reflected in like glass or something, and then the guy he's fighting like appears in the pane of glass next to it. Yeah.
It was great. I sometimes wish that I could see, I feel like as we continue on this podcast, and if we just start watching Samo movies or something at some point, I want to see what Samo's peak directing is, because he probably is better the more time passes.
Yeah.
I would assume because he's clearly creative. He clearly knows how to run a set. Mm-hmm. He knows how to block things. But I don't think that, unfortunately, in the mid to late 80s, filmmaking had caught up to where it was in other places in the world.
Right.
And so the dude is doing the best he can with a different set of rules for what is a good shot a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And I think his instincts are really, really good. Mm-hmm. But I think that there's times where it's just, we don't have time for this, and this isn't what we're after.
They don't know the easy ways to do things.
Yeah, they don't. Yeah, like, they could save money on these conversations and all these things, and they could, right. I don't know. I bet if they just made the fight scenes a little shorter and then did single takes instead, mm-hmm. it would probably be a better movie.
Yeah.
Like, these fight scenes don't need to be 10 minutes. You could do a 5-minute fight scene and just have everything be great right. instead of 10 minutes with some filler.
Yeah.
So who knows?
I'm also curious on if he has directed movies without Jackie, because I'm sure Jackie has, like, a significant amount of input into a lot of the things.
He's got to be. He's the biggest star in the world at that point.
Yeah.
Like, let's see. What does Sammo's... I mean, Sammo still seems to direct movies. He's still making them.
Oh, really?
Yeah, also, I looked at Yuen Biao. Yuen Biao looks like our age, Sonny.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's very... He's got to be in his late 60s, early 70s, and he looks fucking 35 years old. He really does not age.
Wow.
As the racist trope That's says.
as they say.
He's directed 36 movies.
Damn.
His latest one was in 2016.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, and he's directing a movie now called 8 and a Half. An 8-part anthology film exploring the history of Hong Kong from the 1940s to today. That sounds awesome.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
That's really cool. He's like a real director.
Yeah.
In that way, where he doesn't just make kung fu movies. But he seems to have mostly made martial art movies
mm-hmm.
throughout his career. His last movie that he did was 1997, Mr. Nice Guy, starring Jackie Chan.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that should be... maybe that'll be our next movie. So should we talk about the big fight scene at the end now? Or like... Because yeah. they're going to be... We're getting to the part where they're in the third act, pretty
right.
much.
So I guess Sammo and Yuen Biao, they go and check out the
drug
chemical
facility.
Plant. Yeah, the chemical plant. And they like find a secret passageway that leads to a bunch of heroin packing people.
Yeah. And they try to fight them off, including this, I forgot what his name
white
was,
guy.
Gutierrez, the white dude that's in this movie.
Yeah.
Who apparently is one of the greatest competitive martial artists of all time.
In real life? Holy shit.
In real life, yeah. He's like fifth build in this movie, weirdly enough. He is was undefeated. His name is... Nope, not Ricardo Lopez. I've been Googling like a lunatic. It's like impossible for me to find anything anymore. His name is Benny Urquidez.
Okay.
And he's like 37-0 or something in competitive martial arts and
wow.
never lost. And he started doing kung fu movies, and they thought they were going to make an action star out of him, but he has really no charisma.
Well, yes, he's not very good. I don't think he has a single line, does he?
He says something, he says sure thing in Chinese. I think
he does talk in Chinese, that's true.
Yeah, but he's a kickboxer and a choreographer. And he has a great fight with Jackie.
Yeah, it's a good fight.
I feel like I see that scene all the time.
Yeah,
like,
me
that's
too.
One of Jackie's biggest fights.
I like recognize it, but I don't really know where from.
I know it's like the still frame, I think, in every frame of painting.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Which we really need to talk about because it's
yeah.
like it's a video essay about action comedy done by
action.
Jackie Chan.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think he's one of the frames in it. They spend some time on that. That's a great series. That's what this podcast should be
if any of us knew how to edit video, talk intelligently about anything.
Yeah, but here's the thing. That guy, not doing him anymore.
Yeah, he
we
retired.
Still doing
still
it.
Still going hard.
When Jordan says, I can't record today, we go, that's fine. Two-hander. We won't be stopped like every frame of painting, even though that was a vastly superior film thing.
Yeah, seriously, watch it. I think we can do an episode probably on the Jackie Chan one, and then he has another one where it's how to do action comedy, and I think it's based around Edgar Wright's movies.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
we could do...
Because those are kind of related,
those.
Yeah.
His name's James Wan?
His name is Tony Zhu. James Wan is the guy that directed The Conjuring.
Oh.
I think.
Oh, weird. I don't know what that's about.
James Wan.
Or Tony Hugh. Tony Wu.
Tony Zhu.
Tony Zhu.
Yeah.
Zhu?
Yeah. Z-H-O-U.
Okay, Tony. Well, Tony, I'd know your name if you're still making stuff.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say. It's been about a year. Okay, so one of the, what we were talked about this in the Wikipedia when we were reading from it. They drug Sammo really badly.
Like, hardcore.
They, kidnap him and drug him in a way that is not comedic. It is very hardcore, and he's fucking dehydrated.
Super
and probably
up.
Dying.
Yeah. I don't, weird choice. Very weird choice for this movie.
You gotta think that was Sammo going, I gotta do this.
Gotta go in.
Like, I have this great idea.
Throw all that pale makeup on me.
He wants an he wants a gold lion.
Yeah.
From the Palme d'Or. I don't know what the Chinese Oscars are called.
I think, did you totally make gold lion up? Because I would not
gold
be
lion
surprised.
Gold lion is, isn't the grand prix, the grand prize for the Palme d'Or?
No, no, the Palme d'Or is the Palme d'Or, the...
Oh,
the grand prize
it's the
for...
Golden Lion, then.
The Palme d'Or is the grand prize for Cannes.
Okay, yeah. Golden Lion prize. Maybe it is the Chinese ones. Wouldn't that be amazing if I actually said something right when I was being ridiculous?
Lion. Yeah.
It's the Venice Film Festival.
Okay.
Another Venice. Big film festival. So not Cannes or the Palme d'Or. Oh,
the Chinese.
Oh, god damn it. So that Jackie goes in to say, Jackie and Yubao go in to bust shit up along with Nancy. Big fights happen. The bad guys lose,
they
as
die.
Always. Is there anything
one of them
really,
is
like...
overdosed?
Oh, yeah, the main, Yunhua is overdosed by Sammo when he stabs him with his own needle. And what was a pretty cool scene, like, Yunhua should be in more stuff.
Yeah.
He's fun. I would like to see him in a lead role. Let's do that.
Yeah,
do you think
sure.
there's a Yunhua movie we can find? We can. We'll do this off pod. But the movie again ends like out of nowhere, like immediately following things ending. No epilogue. And then we get credits and stunt scenes, which I didn't stay to watch.
Yep. Not me neither.
All right. So... what would you give this movie, Sonny, and why?
I think I would give it a 3.5. Don't want any troubles. I think the movie is pretty competently made. It'd probably be... no, actually, I'll probably give it a 3. I think it probably could be a 4 if it didn't make me feel uncomfortable a lot of the time.
Oh, yeah.
But I think it's like pretty well made. All the... the action is good. The I like the roles that each of the big three play. Like you said before, I like that they switched up the whatever their traditional fallbacks are, and they played
they're not
a little bit
the typecast,
right? And I think Sammo did pretty well with it. There were definitely parts where I was like, oh, I didn't know that you could that he would do that with the camera. I don't know if they're necessarily like great compositions, but like a lot of camera movements and stuff like that that was like surprising to me, so I kind of bumped it up because of that.
Yeah, I was going to give it a 3.5 mm-hmm. as well, but I think I'm going to keep it as a 3.5
uh-huh.
because again I'm basing this off of other movies that we've seen and this is definitely in the at least the middle tier of the movies that we've watched
for sure.
It's not a classic. There are huge points of the movie where the music is just terrible, like it's not scored well. There's a big fight scene in the early parts of the movie and it's just quiet. It's just them making contact with each other. And it was glaring. I'm like, I need some fucking score, brother.
I do. The only like thing I remember about the score is like whenever they'll cut to Sammo, it's always like goofy Three Stooges music.
Yeah, there's a lot of like meandering piano and tuba and stuff with him. So there's parts of this movie that are very problematic. We didn't even talk about the court case at the very end when Jackie has Nancy on the stand and he asks her if she loves him.
Yeah.
And I'm expecting the judge to go, that's crazy.
Yeah,
you
fucking
cannot ask
idiot.
That question.
What are you talking about?
You fucking
about?
Idiot, like, you're wasting our time. He goes, well, it makes sense for a man to ask a woman that.
Yeah.
So I'm not gonna overrule it. If it was a man asking a man, that's abnormal. So I would overrule that, but it's pertinent to the case.
Yeah. Also, like completely there are like so many unforced errors. That line doesn't need to exist.
Yeah. Fuck. Yeah. Still gets a 3.5 for me. I kind of was into the story at points, even if it wasn't like the most intelligent written movie. Mm-hmm. I did want to know where it was going at points. I liked Yuen Wah a lot.
Yeah, me too.
I love his intro. The intro to this movie is amazing. Mm-hmm. Sammo definitely does intros well, because with the previous My Lucky Stars or whatever it was, he has that amazing scene where he breaks into the house.
Yeah.
And then in this, he has the great scene where they end up killing, like, who exactly was that guy?
Which one?
Who he kills in the first scene where he goes, "I didn't kill you."
Oh, yeah. I think it was just like some guy he was asking for, he was doing a deal with, and they didn't like bring money or something.
Who knows?
I don't remember exactly. It was like some mob shit. Some mafia.
Yeah, it was nonsense. It was like a mob, standard mob opening. He ends up just straight up. The guy says, just like, "Please don't kill me." He goes, "Fine, I won't kill you." And he walks over a couch.
Yeah.
Doesn't walk around the couch. Yeah. He steps over the couch and then has his men shoot him in the chest. And the guy goes, "What? You said you wouldn't kill me." And he goes, "I didn't kill you." And he walks off. I like to think that he didn't put emphasis on "I didn't kill you."
I didn't.
I just would like to say, "I didn't kill you. I didn't kill you." 3.5.
Yeah.
Decent movie. Definitely wouldn't watch this with the missus for Valentine's Day.
Nope. 100%.
No. What Jackie Chan movie would you and your and Mrs. Sunny watch? Mrs. Sunny.
I don't know. There really aren't that many.
Would it have to be Rush Hour? Raya likes Rush Hour.
I guess it would have to be Rush Hour.
Or the if you should check the tomorrow you and Caroline should watch The Foreigner. Have a nice date. I'm not doing anything for Valentine's Day. I might as well just watch The Foreigner.
Yeah, I'm not doing.
I don't
really
either. Celebrate it.
Same.
We're men of the 21st century with women of the 21st century.
We got
every
jobs.
We got jobs and we're all tired. I did have this. I think that on Valentine's Day, every couple should have to 69. I had that thought this morning in the subway. I was going, that's really taking you're taking your partner out to lunch equally.
Sure.
Equal burden.
Uh-huh.
Unless someone doesn't come.
Right, that's the whole thing. There's a lot of politics around that.
There's the politics of the 69. I guess there is some politics about that. But I think it's pretty fair. No one has to pay for dinner. Everyone gets to have a good time. And... Mm-hmm. You just hear people 69. You pass a house and you go, "There's people 69ing in that house."
Yeah. Sure.
It'd be good. It'd be good. So this is Chansplaining, the Jackie Chan podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at TheChanPod. Mm-hmm. Like us on Facebook. Find our posts on Reddit. I guess I will handle that for a little bit. So you're going to see that from me. I don't know what else. Watch Jackie Chan movies, guys.
Yeah.
They're really good. And most of them that we've reviewed, you can find for free.
Mm-hmm. They're not in the best quality. Get on that Kodi.
Sonny, I'm amazed you don't have Kodi. I thought you would be about it.
I don't trust, I try to find really nice, good quality movies, and I don't feel like that's a thing there. I don't know.
We watched Phantom Thread a couple days ago.
Oh, really? Oh, it's because all the screeners leaked?
Yeah, but the issue was because of my shitty RCN connection.
Mm.
The 720 kept freezing, so we had to watch standard def.
Shit, it's like the phantom thread of internet connections.
It's true. It's very true. I also watched... We didn't do movie talk at all this week.
No, we didn't.
I say we give ourselves 5 minutes to talk movies.
Okay, sure.
You see anything good this week?
I saw... Oh, no, I finally saw The Shape of Water. I hadn't seen it.
Oh, what'd you think about it?
I liked it a lot. It was, like, super cool world building. I was really into that world.
Me too. I liked how broad it was.
Yeah. Vague it was in terms of where it was in relation to us and to the real life.
Yeah, it was supposed to be, what, the very early 60s?
Yeah, but it, like, also, like, weird cyberpunky technology. I don't know.
Yeah, kind of. My mommy saw it, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, on Saturday. She also liked it.
Mm.
I watched a lot of shit this weekend, son.
Yeah?
I watched Daddy's Home 1 and 2.
Okay.
I really enjoyed Daddy's Home 1. Did not quite care for Daddy's Home 2. I watched Good Time Again.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Good Luck Chuck.
Good Luck Chuck. I didn't watch Good Luck Chuck. I watched Good Time Again.
Yeah.
I think that's definitely my favorite movie of the year. That movie is a masterpiece.
Good Time, yeah. Mind. Good Time is good. Good Time is, I think, I saw today, 99 cents to rent on iTunes. So.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I rented it for $4.99 on Amazon.
Oh, no.
I could even Kodi it, but I was like, I want it in the fucking 1080p.
Yeah.
And then I watched all of... Oh, I watched Godless this week.
Oh, did you like it? I never got into it.
I think Godless is really interesting because it knows it's a miniseries, and I don't think it's trying for a full series.
Oh, okay.
Which is what most of these miniseries, I think, are not doing.
Yeah.
Because Godless sticks, it's super well shot, acted, at points written.
Okay.
And it sticks the landing, which is rare, I think. And most Netflix things are kind of like, whatever, I think. But Godless was very good.
Okay.
It's got my boy from Halt and Catch Fire in it.
Lee Pace?
Scoot McNairy.
Oh, Scoot McNairy.
Scoot McNairy plays a cowboy who's going blind.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good role for him, actually.
It is. He's fucking great in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I give Godless is the best TV show I've watched in a little while,
okay.
I would say. I'm kind of not sure what to do with my TV watching time because I feel like I nailed everything this year.
Just fucking murdered it. Murdered my TV watch.
I had so much time. I'm like, I'm just going to watch Sopranos and Mad Men again. Why not?
Yeah.
And now I don't know what else to do.
I've been watching a lot of Olympics this week. I'm into that ice skating.
I just don't like the Winter Olympics that much. I'm a summer guy. Personally. I don't know.
Fair.
There's something about the Netherlands beating us that I'm like, to be racial, if black people did any sports, you would not win. Like, that's the plight of the matter. If this was not done by people,
that
and
is
like,
fair.
If this wasn't, if everyone that was ice skating wasn't either from like foreign countries where it was cold all the time,
mm-hmm.
or like Connecticut,
yeah,
or
yeah, you can't fucking play pickup skiing.
Yeah, you can't play pickup skiing. There's no street skiing.
Yeah,
there is, I guess, cross country skiing.
Yeah,
so I guess that could happen. But I'm just like, imagine if fucking KD was like, I'm gonna be a fucking, I'm going to do luge.
I'm going to do anything.
He'd be the best. He wouldn't have a team because he would betray them.
He'd be a fucking, like, missile.
Yeah.
That'd be terrifying.
He would be the board.
Yeah.
He'd be the luge craft. All right,
guys.
Well, hopefully America wins the rest.
Yeah.
Or whoever you're rooting for. I shouldn't say. I shouldn't assume.
I'm not really rooting for... I don't root for people.
I do know someone at work who is, like... vehemently wants America to lose. She's like,
oh,
we
really?
Don't deserve any more medals. Yeah, I'm like, I kind of see
fine.
Your point, but also I still love it when we beat like Russia.
Yeah,
shit.
Yeah.
Even though they can't compete,
but they have Olympians there.
But they're like the Olympian from Russia,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
not representing
not, yeah.
Russia. Did you see Icarus?
So I think there's two Icaruses out. The one regarding the bank.
Wait, there's another Icarus?
So there's an Icarus documentary about the only bank that got prosecuted during the housing crisis. And it's just like,
I wanna watch that too.
Yeah, it's really interesting. It's this like little Asian American owned bank out of like Flushing or something. And it's like, I think it's called Icarus Small Enough to Fail. Super frustrating and like will make you really angry, so watch out for that.
Oh, maybe I won't watch it. I was talking about the blood doping documentary.
Oh no, that one I didn't watch.
That is a good thing on Netflix.
Okay, all right.
That I watched that in Albania. mm-hmm. like on vacation, and I went, this is crazy, the Russians are evil.
Yeah.
I didn't know half of the shit that was going on yet. Maybe not the Russians aren't evil, but Putin is evil.
Yeah.
Shouldn't stereotype all Russians. Because they're living under that regime.
Yeah.
They're fine. He's nice.
Yeah.
All right. I think that's it for us today.
Thanks, guys.
A very weird episode of Chains of Honey. We'll talk 10 minutes about a fucking murder suicide. All right.
Hey!
Bye, everybody. Ah!
Hey, ah! Hey, ah! Hey, ah! Hey, ah! Music. Music. Fat, 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 fat